Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yotisby, Sportive's back. 6 week hiatus, as we do.
6 weeks?
John's here. John, are you here?
I'm here.
And Chicken Fingers, do I have you?
Right here.
Ooh. Threesome. That'll do. Stuart is out working. He's working. He's busy. That's great news for him. But bad news for us.
He's finally working like a real man. None of this crafting words for his employer. He's working in the warehouse. Getting
pen
his hands
to paper,
dirty.
No mo of that. Yep. A little blue collar work for Stu. It'll be good for him,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
Put some hair on his chest.
Hasn't worked a day in his life, that guy.
No, not an honest day, that's for sure. Okay, let's talk baseball. I think it might be almost back. We're recording this on June 17th. We think it's almost back. Is that the reports you guys are getting? I know you've got some contacts and some sources. What are your sources saying?
My sources are saying that Major League Baseball could screw up a two-car parade.
Yes. It's been ugly. It's been very ugly. Now, as far as I know, and I should say, most of my Twitter feed is filled with elitist liberal cucks like myself. So take that for what it's worth. But the people I follow think this is mostly on the owners, and the owners are real pieces of shit, and they finally had to grovel back to Tony Clark, the players union guy, and beg to play again because they overstepped their bounds and they could feel the tide of the public was turning against them. Now, is that true, or is that an elitist liberal cuck fever dream?
I guess I cannot speak for the elitist liberal cuck opinion, although perhaps I hold it. I don't. Now I'm concerned. Maybe that is.
I might be one.
Maybe that is how I feel too.
It's fine. I mean, the water's warm.
Now I don't want to say anything now.
Okay.
What if I'm on that side?
That's okay.
Maybe I want to be on the other side. I don't want to be on the other side. I was going to say it makes no sense to me, but of course it makes perfect sense to me in that baseball owners are terrible people who all should be rounded up and put in a prison. So if that's what your Twitter feed.
And the players are known to be, of all professional athletes, the biggest jackasses out of all of them. So if you're making them look good, some soul searching might be in order. Now, as I understand it, in February or March, or it's a sport effect, somewhere around then, when they started seeing that there some games might be canceled, they immediately agreed to a prorated salary. And then what happened was one of the owners got his calculator out and beep boop pop boop beep boop beep did some calculations and was like, hold on a second, there might not be any fans in the stands, and I don't see how we can print money this year as we have for the previous 30 years. So let's go back on our word and our agreement and say, never mind, we don't want to do that anymore. We want you to just take a cut from what you already agreed to. Now, again, I'm just an elitist liberal cuck, but that sounds bad. So that's who I'm going to blame, the owners.
I got a couple of facts for you, Brandon. I know that we're not in the fact business, but
no.
Given that we've had
we're
6 weeks
business,
since our...
We're in the takes business, John.
Given that we've had 6 weeks since our last podcast, I've had plenty of time to research, by which I mean I looked up some facts 2 minutes before this podcast started.
This is incredible. I'm excited.
But I'll tell you this. In 1995, the league-wide revenues for Major League Baseball were $1.4 billion. Last year, that number was $10.7 billion. That's a $9.3 billion jump. That works out to $310 million per team. Now, I know the Twins' payroll was low in the mid-90s, but it hasn't jumped $310 million over that time. The average salary in baseball was about $1 million in 95. Now it's $4 million. For that 25-year period, that quarter-century period, baseball owners have been pocketing that money. That's been going directly into their pockets. The franchise values in that time. To give you another fact, the expansion fee for the then Florida Marlins, now Miami Marlins, was $93 million. That was in 1993 when they started playing. A couple years ago, they sold for $1.2 billion. The money is all going straight to owners, not to players, to owners. And the moment that any of the owners thought that they might, rather than making money, lose a little bit of money, which you would think that the amount of money that they've not only made over the last quarter century, but the amount of money that most of them have wrung out of various cities and municipalities around the country, you would think that they would be willing to put up a little economic pain just to keep teams
on the
field.
No, you wouldn't think that.
Yeah, that's true.
You would not. I would not think that. I don't watch a lion in the Serengeti dismantle a gazelle and you, holy shit, look at that fucking lion just
have a heart.
I can't believe that lion did that.
Why did he do that?
Yes, you'd think this lion wouldn't do that. These billionaires are acting like billionaires. If there's not a dollar to be made, then they're not going to do it.
Here's the thing about that calculator,
and they said, "Look, okay, beeble, beeble, bobble, beeble, beep." Like, yep. 50 games. We cut even at 50. We lose money if we play more than 50 games. I might be boiling it down. It might be a little bit more nuanced than that, but in general, that's basically what they said. So, players, if we're going to play more than 50 games, it's coming out of your pocket. If it's less than 50 games, then we'll prorate it to 50.
The players were like, cool, all right, so we'll be taking part of the risk, and then when you go and sell it for a bunch of money, you'll just come back and give me a bunch of this money back, right?
No, I won't.
Hello? Anyone?
I'm a billionaire. That's not the way it works.
No. For what?
And
for
I'm
fun?
Not saying it's right or wrong. I'm not saying it's right. My point is, it just doesn't surprise me.
No, well, but we can say it.
Here's the thing about that. Here's the one thing I want to say about that. Many of the baseball owners, not all of them, not the Polads. The Polads have nothing to do with this. But many of the other baseball owners could afford to buy teams because they had been successful in the business world. And at some point, most of them have had to sell something to customers. And you would think that they would understand, especially since they did this 26 years ago and experienced this once within my lifetime, that if they take it away, people simply won't come back on the other end. Mm-hmm. Baseball lost a lot of fans after the 94 strike. You would think they would say, we're not going to do that. We're going to lose a little bit of money now in order to be on the field. Baseball probably, if they had worked hard, could have been the first sport back on the field. You would think that they would say, all right, we're going to spend a little money now to make it up by not losing all those fans for future years. If they don't play this year, and odds are that they will at this point, from what's come out today, it seems like they're going to play and it seems like they're going to understand this. If they were to not play this year, the number of fans who simply wouldn't come back next year, I think, would dwarf the number that wouldn't come back after the 94 strike.
Do you think the Polad brothers know that there's no baseball right now? Do you think they got, like, maybe this morning there's like a Zoom meeting and they're like, hey, Foley, hey, D, hey, yeah. Big D, how's the season going? And Derek's like, what the fuck? What, seriously? Yeah, it's like, above 500?
The sports editor at the Star Tribune is fielding calls every other day now from Jim Polad saying, you know, I looked through the whole paper and I couldn't find the baseball standings. How come you're not putting the baseball standings in there? You used to have baseball standings. Call me back, please. Beep.
Yeah, I don't, I'm not going to be the one that says, boy, I can't believe that the owners aren't taking a huge loss this year out of the goodness of their hearts. I get that. We can continue to expect billionaires to act like regular human beings, but they never will, and they never have. But to John's point, I think makes a ton of sense. Like, I am surprised that they're not taking a hit this year for like a long-term outlook thing. Do they not give a shit that it's the sport? They're old enough that they're like, fuck, I'm going to sell for so much money at some point. I don't really care either way. I wasn't in this ever because I'm a huge fan of baseball, which is what fans, I totally understand that point of view. Again, they're billionaires. That's why they got into this. It wasn't because they're just obsessed with baseball. I can see fans being bummed about that, but not surprised. But you're right. I mean, missing a season would be, it feels not hyperbolic to say catastrophic for the sport, right? I mean, their fans are literally dying off, not being replaced with any younger people. So that part has been surprising to me.
The argument I guess I could see them making is, and John kind of made it for them in a way, is, yeah, baseball shut down however many years ago, but John also cited the statistics of how much more valuable our teams are worth now than they were then. So why should there is no long view. The long view is we're going to continue making money. So we might as well let this season go like we did 27 years ago or whatever it was when there was a strike, and we'll be fine long term. They'll come back. It'll all work out.
There's only 30 of these teams. I'm one of them. I'm going to make so much money on this. I really don't care.
I'm not going to take a short-term loss because I'm worried about the long term. The past has showed us that we will still make money long term.
The nicest thing you can say about them is they don't give a shit, I think.
I don't know if I think they do. They give a shit about the money. They don't care about Billy and Susie watching Josh Donaldson in Target Field this year. They don't give a shit about that.
Right.
Will it make them a dollar? They don't care. And right. I guarantee you, Jim Polet doesn't give a fuck. He didn't buy the team. It was a gift to him. It was in his will. It was in his dad's will. And I don't blame him for that. I don't know. I mean, you might get stuff from your dad that you know, if you don't like it, is that your fault? No?
That's what me and the therapist work through every week.
His name's Chicken. Jesus. Yikes.
Oh, yeah. Edit that part out.
Yeah, right. Edit out. Yeah, I know how to do that.
God, it's been so long since we did the podcast last. I forgot what his name was.
Right, he's got three of them. You said the wrong one. All right, so as of now, we think it's around 60-ish games. I haven't even started complaining about the playoff format. 16 teams? What the fuck is this? Who's asking for this? Fans? Players? Owners? I don't understand who's asking for
television. My guess would be television. We'll give you more money to make up the losses of a shortened season if you put more teams in the playoffs. Okay, then we will. And the justification is it's a shortened season. We don't know who would have been in or out of the playoffs, so let's open it up a little bit.
Are you happy about this?
No. What gives them away is that they not only implemented it for this season, but also next. That's a part of the deal. And all they're trying to do is just grab more money. They're not doing it for competition's sake or anything. It's strictly television dollars and trying to make up the money they'll lose this season.
Right. So
I'm not happy about it. If the Twins are the 16th team in the playoffs, then yes, I'm happy about it.
Oh, we'll delete this podcast so quick if the Twins are the 16th team. Don't worry
about
it, dude.
Then it's the greatest idea.
This never happened.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's a tremendous idea if they are
short season.
Less,
come on. They were just finding their groove, baby.
Yeah, this is bullshit. Who's the guy that's suspended for 50 games?
Pineda.
This is horseshit.
Unfair.
Et cetera.
Et cetera. Yeah, the thing that shocked me was the expanded playoffs next year as well as part of this negotiation, which...
That doesn't make any lick of goddamn sense.
So bullshit. I mean, that is so dumb. Yeah.
From a money standpoint, I get it, but...
That really is the sop to the national TV contract. That's because the executives at Fox and TNT or whoever else owns the national TV contracts now are calling up and saying, well, so we're not going to have quite the number of games during the season that we had. What else do you got for me? Oh, extra playoff games that people will watch, you say? All right, we'll take that.
Now, we are just three jackasses in our basement. Do you have any sense what the broader baseball fandom thinks about expanded playoffs? It seems to me, again, that's a no bueno. Like, that is just too many teams in the playoffs. It's ridiculous. They play so many games, yada, yada, yada. But do you have any sense of, am I the weird one for not wanting half the teams to make the playoffs? Do you think a casual fan is actually like, oh, cool, that's awesome?
I think you will watch anyways, and they know it. Like, you'll sit here in your basement and bitch and moan, and so will I. But come October, you may still be bitching and moaning, but you're going to turn the TV on and you're going to watch it.
Well, what I'm wondering, though, is do they have some internal data that's telling them this is actually for the fans? Because I can't imagine that they do, right?
It's just more money.
That's the craziest idea ever, that Major League Baseball would base any of their decisions on data. That's crazy talk.
Or even worse, that they would actually care what their fans think. You could throw even the word data away and just think about, like, what do our fans want? Because you break down basically any company, that's kind of the way that it should run, whether it's my company or your guys' company or anything else. Of like, what do our customers want? We should just do more of that. Let's ask them and then let's do it. That's how it's going to work. So I'm just wondering, do they just, hey, we got a little bit of survey information here that for playoffs are exciting, blah, blah, blah. Or are they just like, fuck it, let's make some more money. Let's make some money this year and not give a shit later. Which seems like the obvious one, but I know that's also the very cynical take, too. I'm trying to give somebody some grace somewhere along the line here that this isn't just a pathetic money grab that they're looking 2 inches in front of their face. I'm trying.
I obviously don't know how sports owners think. About all I have to go on was that book that came out a couple of years ago about NFL owners. I'm forgetting the author's name at this point, but it was heavily concentrated on Jerry Jones and Bob Kraft and one other owner who I can't remember. And that was probably the most I've read about owners and the dynamics between owners and that sort of thing. And what was fairly clear from that book is that the things that Jerry Jones is concerned about, number three on the list is having enough scotch in the RV. Number two on the list is whether the numbers keep going up in terms of revenue and who has the biggest stadium. And number one on the list is who has the hottest third wife. Those are the only concerns that he seemed to have going in that whole entire book. I can't imagine that baseball owners are all that much different.
Yeah. Yes, I'm giving them too much credit by thinking they're going to open up the email that says customer data survey results and recommendations.
Yeah, I don't know what you know about the poll ads, but I can't imagine they're poring over sales data late into the night trying to determine the proper ticketing price points for next season.
Just all feel. All gut, baby. Well,
what was
God,
the last
it's
year?
Just
6% more than that. Okay, good.
Right. It's a bummer, man. But as of now, we think it's coming back on July 19th, 1 month from now. And to your point, Chicken, I will be watching.
Have you guys spent any of your time with no baseball thinking of increasingly implausible ideas for what to do when baseball comes back?
You mean like rules to make baseball better?
Yes.
Or John, like giving you're talking positive to feedback
the main sports fixer, the number one sports fixer. So I could save baseball in 2 minutes if they just let me at it. Let me at the rules.
All right. I want to hear your sports fixing idea, and then I also have a baseball idea for this season.
Okay. Two rules. Number one, only 8 men in the field. Incentivize the ball in play. We need the goddamn ball in play. Yeah. These baseball hitters are so smart, and they totally understand that the defenders are too good, man. I am just trying to hit home runs now. I don't give a shit about anything else. I'm just trying to hit home runs because otherwise I'm going to get out. And it's not worth it for me to get on and try to steal. We're not doing any of the bunting. It doesn't make any sense. The math doesn't work. I have to hit home runs. So we have to change the math. And the way you change the math is 8 men in the field. Fucking awesome. Super fun.
All right, Brandon. Right? No, let's not move on. I want to 8 men in the field. You're the manager. You're Rocco Baldelli.
Yep.
Is it two outfielders? Or is it depend on the batter?
Totally
it's
depends.
Depend on the batter.
It depends on the batter. How fun would that be if this new guy comes up and then all the fielders just run around to new different areas? It's a tiny little element of strategy. Baseball, you know I'm obsessed with baseball. I love it more than anything. But there really isn't a whole lot of strategy in baseball. You know, there's not much, right? It's like get on base or get that guy out. There's not a whole lot of like,
all right,
well, this team's only going to hit it opposite field or something. Isn't that. It's too hard.
I'm going to add in this wrinkle because I'm an enormous proponent of pitch clocks and getting into the batter's box clocks. I don't know what term that is.
Batter's
box clocks? Pitch clocks? Batters, and
box clocks.
Box clocks. There you go. That's why you're the ideas guy.
That's right.
If you have that clock on the next pitch has to be thrown, then the strategy that you're talking about, the 8 guys in the field, is more like football in the sense that like the play clock is running. You got to get set up, and you can't be looking in the dugout for a half an hour. Do I go here, coach? Do I go there? No. These guys need to know where they need to be for each batter. So like before the game, they're studying the book so that the shortstop knows, okay, I got to run out to left center when Billy Joe Haywood is up. You know, he can't be waiting for his outfield coach to tell him. So, anyway, I think that would be kind of cool, like watching these guys scramble around as the next batter's up. And the pitcher has to throw it in the next 7 seconds. And the shortstop is supposed to be in right center. So he's sprinting out there. I like that kind of added chaos.
And it's fun. And you're going to pay attention. Like, you're not just going to be bored at this point. And the ball is going to be in play, and there's going to be guys on base. And that's what we love about baseball. Then my next idea is 6-man lineup. Letting every guy hit is stupid. You need to have 6 men in a lineup because there's 3 bases and there's potentially 3 outs. You know, in basketball, it's not like a different guy has to bring the ball up every time. It's like this guy's the best at it, and he gets to do that. In football, the quarterback is the best at playing that position. They don't need to switch it out or anything. Our best players get to dominate, and we get to see. And in baseball, it's stupid that Mike Trout has to bat the exact same amount of times as whoever the fuck their catcher is who sucks and nobody wants to watch him. So your 6 best guys get up there and hit. That's how the thing works. So you would have fewer guys in the lineup, but also would mean think about how great your fielders would be if you've got 2 guys in there that don't have to hit. Your shortstop would be an incredible player or whatever else. So 8 men in the field, 6 men.
Byron Buxton is now the most valuable player in baseball.
And Byron Buxton should be the most valuable player in baseball. He's fucking awesome, and he's a great athlete, and we love watching him. So I think that's my 2 ideas, and I think baseball would just be an absolute blast. And you could do 8-man lineup in other leagues or whatever else, but I just want to have, like, the good players should be playing more often. It's dumb that they have to wait in line like that. No other sport does that. Restricts, like, who can play and where. And it's just, you know, I get why they did it at the beginning of time, probably, but it's just kind of silly nowadays. We've evolved. 8 men in the field, 6-man lineup. That's my final offer. I await your answer.
Well, of course, it'll never happen because the players' union would never let it happen. That's
right.
There'd now be fewer paid players, fewer roster spots. Maybe the same roster spots, but fewer guys making the larger dollars.
Yeah, totally. There'd be like kind of like basketball, where all of a sudden, you know, like there's like the middle guys, yeah, you know, that make a few million dollars a year. Like, yeah, they don't exist. The middle class would not mm-hmm. really be around anymore. So sure, yep. But I think that would solve a lot of baseball's problems. Pitch clocks or whatever. Yeah. Pitch clocks and 8 men in the field. How fucking fun would that be? I'm sure something would happen at some point where now all of a sudden, and then I think from there on, you just use the baseball to like adjust if offense is getting too out of whack or whatever else. You can raise the seams a hair and then pitchers have a little bit better advantage. You just do it from there. But the big thing is take that one player off the field. I want chaos and excitement.
It utterly delights me to know that your idea for improving baseball is to make it more like cricket.
Oh, yep. No. Well, I didn't know that. Now I'm out.
Wait a minute. It's more like cricket?
Damn. More like cricket.
No, John, I had out. One investor who was just about ready to sign. His pen was in his hand.
He just...
God. Shit.
I was waiting for you to keep going and saying... Instead of having one pitcher at one time, we'll have two pitchers going at one time.
It doesn't even make any
balls.
Sense. I'm out.
And here's the other thing. None of the fielders will be able to wear gloves.
No
except
gloves.
For the catcher.
Gloves are stupid. Ah, shoot, I had him. I had him on the hook. I was reeling him in. I had the net out. And then you came and clipped the line.
Well, I'm so happy that you bought our house. Just want to mention, as you sign the mortgage document, that the house is haunted.
Yeah, it's... the bodies are still in the house.
Please yeah, tape is on the ground. Oh no, John. I guess the ironic part is, as the biggest proponent of the pitch clock, and speeding up the games, they have to. I've always felt like they have to get the games closer to 2 hours than three that they currently mm-hmm. are. Now that I'm sitting here at home working from home. Make them 6 hours, seven
oh,
or eight
no.
hours. And
oh
make
no,
them
that's
the
another
day.
Cricket.
Again,
I
more like cricket.
Cricket idea.
I don't give a shit anymore.
Make it last three days. There's tea in between. Tea
they,
time.
They start at 10 a.m. They have an hour-long break for lunch at noon.
I can
Who
watch
says no?
Every game as I'm working now, because nobody knows, I can just sit here at the computer and watch TV. Who's ever going to know? Play the games
no
during
one's
the day,
the wiser.
And they can be as long as they want. I don't care anymore. Now, the second I have to go back to the office, 2 hour games. Let's go. Hurry it up. Pitch clock. Come on. Let's go.
Yep.
But in the meantime, I don't care. Do what you want.
So, Chicken, do you have ideas besides? Is the clock your big thing? Do you think that would?
That's it. The biggest
cure
thing.
A lot
you
of.
Gotta, you gotta bills. Speed the game up. And I don't care about the – I mean, we're joking about the other stuff. And I hear what you're saying about 8-man fielders. I've always been more – as long as it doesn't ruin the base components of the game, I don't think a pitch clock does. You still have the same number of fielders. You have the same number of batters, same number of innings. Everything stays the same. Just speed it up. There's no reason the manager needs to go to the mound. He can't – don't let him. There's no reason for it.
Yeah. But even a two and a 20 minute game that just involves three home runs, six singles, and then a bunch of walks and strikeouts, I think it is way better than it is now. But man, I just this three true outcomes thing, which again the math works. You can't argue against the math unless you change that math. It's still you're still going to lose some people.
You're going to lose some. Brandon, I just think that it's not going to change the game to such significance that you're going to – those people that were going to leave are going to leave anyways.
Yeah.
I just think speeding it up is what's really going to – and I don't know what the difference is. You still get the commercial breaks. You get everything else. It's just you get to the commercial breaks quicker.
Yeah.
So the owners should be happy. They still get their same money. The viewers are happy. Why do we feel the need to have the pitcher step off the mound, lick his fingers – go to the rosin bag, walk around. What does that gain the game? What does that gain anybody? Nobody wants to see it. Hurry up. Let's go. Let's
well,
go.
It's a tradition, and it's such a hard thing to get rid of in baseball. Every player is going to be like, I don't want to be rushed like that. I need to think through what the type of pitch I want to throw. The batter's like, I want to think through a pitch he's going to throw.
Football doesn't act that way.
Exactly.
Like, what if football had no game clock, like no clock?
Oh, could you imagine how long it would be between plays with these fucking coaches trying to strategize this? That would be 7 minutes between every single play because we didn't – you have to artificially – same with shot clock in basketball. Like, if you don't make this happen unnaturally, it's not going to happen. Left to their own devices, they're going to take for fucking ever because it's really important.
Right.
So baseball, you have to artificially do that because, again, as a pitcher – now, I'm a terrible example because I work like – Mark Burley level speed because I'm just impatient. But most other guys are like, no, I want to make sure I've got a good grip on the ball. I need to talk to my catcher. I want to make sure this, that, whatever.
You don't need
because
to talk
there's
to
nobody.
Catcher.
It probably doesn't even make him any better, but it's more like a comfort thing. And it sucks and it's stupid. And you have to cut it out. So,
knock it off.
Yeah.
And I said, you can even have the same number of pitching changes. I don't care about that. Have 50 pitching changes a game. But
as long as it's quick,
needs to be on the mound in, let's say, 60 seconds. That next pitch has to happen. 60 seconds. That's all he gets. You better fucking sprint. You better get your ass moving from the bullpen. Get a bullpen cart. I don't care.
Idea of, like, back in the day when you had to get a few warm-up pitches because you're like, well, this mound, you know, this probably was invented back when, like, the mounds and the dirt were all different. And, like, oh, shit, this one's all clay. Okay,
well,
now that
probably,
I know where I'm going to be footing.
Yeah, in 1937, the mound was built on top of like 7 orphan boys that were died of polio or something. And now it's
the Polio Hill, Polio Grounds. Is that what they called it?
It's still called the Polio Hill.
Hence the name.
Who's on the old Polio Hill today?
On the Polio Hill? I cannot wait till Pineda comes back and takes that Polio Hill.
The mounds are all the same now. They're down to the millimeter, exactly the same.
Yep.
Let's go. Come on. There's no reason to not have a pitch clock. There's none.
I agree. John, did you have you asked us, and usually if I know myself, I ask somebody a question because I want to answer it myself. So did you have an idea?
I have a less drastic idea. It doesn't involve really changing the game so much, but here's what I want to happen. So, you know, they're talking about playing 60 games in 70 days or something like that.
Yep.
Everybody wants more games. Well, that's not true. The owners don't want more games. But the players want more games. Here's what should happen. Everybody thinks, well, 60 games a season, little short. Don't know who's going to make the playoffs. 60 games is not enough to identify who should make the playoffs. Instead of 60 games, we play 60 7-inning doubleheaders. So there's 120 games.
Yes.
And to account for playing 14 innings every day instead of 9, since there's no minor league season anyway, everybody just has the 40-man roster right away.
Yeah, that's great. I'm in.
Expanded rosters, 120-game season, 7-game doubleheaders every night. I also support having a pitch clock of about 11 seconds. Get her done.
You're going to need like 25 pitchers, but who cares? Because you already figured that out.
You already do.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's great. Let's call it in.
Let's do it.
We just call. There's a hotline or something, right?
I assume.
Yeah. Got to be a hotline. Sports Fixer Hotline. Man, we really got to be put in charge of something someday.
I can't wait to see how the cricket ball league does in its first year.
We are in charge of this podcast. We do it once
every 6 weeks.
We
are in charge of this podcast. That's exactly what I was going to say. Not
we can't
the strongest
even.
Argument. Not
damn it. shit. Well, this is a big deal, though. You just put us in charge of Major League Baseball. That's different. That's easier. It's way easier.
Yeah, we might spend a good 3-4 hours a week on it, then.
That's still more than the poll ads.
Yeah. I want to know how much it pays first. I'm not. This isn't a fucking charity.
No.
Fucking UNICEF.
So, if we don't make any money, does that mean this podcast is a charity?
Ooh.
Yes.
A write-off. I don't even know
how to
write anything off. You just write
it off.
We'll
be opening a GoFundMe.
I use it to advertise for my only account. My what's the OnlyFans where I do the porno?
OnlyFans, yeah, your nudes.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, just saying OnlyFans in every tweet doesn't make it an OnlyFans. I'm just saying, a lot of people are not following you on Twitter.
Well, then, John, where are these porno videos I'm posting going?
Just to everybody. That can't be.
When I email these things out, where do they go, John? I mean,
the money's got to be coming in soon.
I assume they pay me via direct deposit, although I'll take a check. I've been submitting invoices as well.
The other thing that the main thing that the owners are so mad about, obviously, is that there won't be any fans in the stands. So, John, have you? I know that you're a big sports watcher. Yes, John,
big sports watcher.
Have you been watching sports with no fans? I know there's.
I
a
have
bunch
been
of
watching
going on,
sports
right?
with no fans.
What's it like?
Surprisingly unannoying.
Okay,
and that might change for other sports. I don't know if that is specific to soccer, which is the only sport that I've really been watching so far. But it's almost calming. And I will say that the worst thing that's been happening is that these leagues have started adding fake crowd noise and even really bad fake digital crowds to these broadcasts. And that makes it far, far worse. To watch.
Like a laugh track deal?
A little bit like a laugh track, but I believe every one of these leagues is using some version of the video game sound kind of thing to add sound to these games. And I don't know how they're doing it exactly, but I can tell you that every one of them is doing it badly.
Process, unsure. The result... real bad.
The result is truly extremely annoying. The digital fans has actually been fairly hilarious because when these leagues started talking about how they were going to add digital fans in the stands so you wouldn't see empty stands, I just assumed it would be done very well. Like, wow, this is going to be amazing. I can't even imagine what this will look like in this day and age of amazing graphics and huge computer power that we didn't have a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But one league that tried it, the Spanish Soccer League, the fans, and I'm making finger quotes here,
fans
looked exactly like if you had digitally covered all these empty stands with, you know, the padding that goes under carpet, the weird sort of multicolored,
yeah,
blotchy stuff. Exactly like that is what it looked like.
That doesn't sound like a human.
No, that doesn't make me think, oh boy, those stands aren't empty. It makes me think, wow, what's with the carpet padding? And then I saw one today that was like, it was the Italian, it wasn't the league, it was their Italian Cup competition, and it was like if you made a little computer graphic of one person holding up one of those cards, you know, like you do the card thing where everybody holds up a card and it spells a word or something. If person was holding up a red one and the next person was holding up a white one, and then you copied and pasted it 50 million times.
A copy of a copy, gets bad.
They sort of switched back and forth, so it sort of gave you the impression that someone was waving a card back and forth. Does this sound like a very natural crowd to you? It was like somebody who had never actually seen what a crowd looks like was just like, The fans, they wave stuff. We'll just make it look like they're waving, and we'll make it look like everybody's waving the same thing in time at all times so that it's incredibly distracting and actually makes you want to... At one point, I was, like, shielding my eyes a little bit so I didn't have to see the crowd anymore because it was so off-putting. So...
And this was soccer, you said?
This is soccer. Honestly, it's been way better to just watch the games with no fake fan sounds and no fake fan views, because then it's kind of fascinating because it sounds exactly like if you're just walking by a park and you hear people yelling at a soccer game in the park. Somebody does something, there's people clapping on the sidelines and shouts of encouragement and stuff like that, and it's delightful to me in some way to see some of the best soccer teams on the planet playing what sounds exactly like the North Suburban Soccer Association Under 6 League.
Are they yelling at each other, the players?
Yeah, of course they are. I mean, you hear all the things that you didn't hear before.
They like scream at each other and talk a bunch of shit. Is that not a soccer thing?
That's definitely a soccer thing. However, most of the matches I've watched so far have been in German, a language I don't know.
Well, you're learning German. It's like Rosetta Stone.
Oh, cool.
You're learning. It's getting absorbed.
It's German, so no matter what you're saying, even if you're reciting a love poem to the love of your life, it sounds like you're screaming.
You never been to Germany. That's exactly right.
Might come in handy someday.
That's correct. Yeah, I've learned a lot of languages over the past few weeks.
Crowd noise, I mean, the only time you ever see a crowd during any sports game, really, is courtside in basketball, which, again, who gives a shit? And then in baseball, when there's, like, foul balls, you know, when the camera wants to pan out that way. Otherwise, I can't really see missing any crowds, but maybe I'm wrong. Chicken, where do you stand on this?
On the crowd stuff?
Yeah, the fake artificial pumping in that noise.
I never liked laugh tracks in sitcoms. I'd much rather, I think this is an opportunity to, John put his finger on it, to hear, they'd have to have like the drop button all the time or the beep it out all the time, but to really hear what the players, how they interact on the field. I think this is kind of a cool opportunity to see that. And instead, they'd rather do a laugh track. They'd rather pump in crowd noise and do artificial crowds. It just seems odd to me. It seems forced. I don't know what the value is. It's not fooling anybody. It doesn't add to the experience. It as John said, he's shielding his eyes. It detracts from it, from the experience.
Well, especially in baseball, when so many of the players are, you could have a guy on the bench who's just sitting around picking his nose anyway, or the left fielder, you know, he's just sitting there. He can be mic'd up, you would think, if he knows that he is.
Mic him up. Really, put a green screen out in the field, like in the stands, and, you know, it doesn't have to be Rosetta Stone, but maybe I could learn a book on tape. Put that in the background.
There you go.
Green screen and, like, play a movie, like an unreleased movie. Like, play Black Widow. Mm-hmm. play something people haven't seen yet.
I'm looking forward to it.
Why do I got to think up all the ideas? There's a million-dollar idea right there. Why am I just... I just sat here and came up with a million ideas. People get paid to do this. And they instead just choose to do the carpet underlayment idea, like John said. I mean, we just came up with like half a dozen great ideas in 30 seconds. These people do it for a living, and instead they just decided to pump in sound. So,
I like the audiobook idea because it reminds me of the Simpsons episode where Homer thought he was going to die, and so he popped in the Bible as read by Larry King into his Walkman as he went to bed. Just first pitch. First pitch tonight was at 7:07. Game time temperature 73 degrees, and now the Bible read by Larry King.
Why not? I mean, well, you're not doing anything anyways. You're still going to watch, right, Brandon? I keep saying it. Come back to that. You're
get through
still
the entire
watch.
Bible. Where were we last week? Oh, Matthew.
Genesis,
all right.
Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. There, that's five games. You've got five books of the Bible right there.
The game's moving at a fast clip. You know, you cliff note it at the end there just to get through it. That's fine. It's better than nothing.
And Noah begat Ruth. And, yeah, just keep going. Let's go. Let's learn some stuff.
It's going to be a few real slow games that are being... The soundtrack is the Book of Numbers. That's not going to be those are not going to be popular soundtracks.
No. That's all right. That's what the mute button's for. Some of us want to learn something.
Anyway.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I did a good radio bit. Winners and losers for baseball coming back. Do you want to hear it?
Yep, go for it.
So there's three winners and three losers. This is like a radio bit. You ready?
Do we need to work on sound effects so that we can hit the sound effects button when you read off a winner and a loser?
Yeah. I want you on a winner to do that. Oh, yeah. Can you do one of those?
Okay.
And then
the losers, we can do a sad trombone.
Sad trombone, the want, like you do that. Okay. Yeah. So, okay. So three winners and three losers of baseball coming back. Winner number one, Dodgers.
Ooh, yeah. Wait, why?
The Dodgers are, they have the best odds, according to Vegas right now, of winning the World Series. And they've been really snake bit for many years now. And I'm sure they have Mookie Betts on their team, right? I think. And he's only for one more year. So I'm sure they'll keep him. But what if they don't and the entire season was lost? Could you imagine being a poor Los Angeles resident? These poor, poor people having to deal with a lost season that they were really supposed to be the best team in the league. That they're winners now. It's coming back. I'm a big Dodgers fan, as you know. So
if they go to my 7-inning games idea, they're going to have to get used to showing up in the 3rd inning and leaving in the 5th inning.
That's right.
In the 7th inning.
Right. Okay, so is that a good winner?
It got the oh yeah sound effect, so I think we have to say yes.
Second big winner, our beloved Minnesota Twins. Big winners.
Oh yeah.
I'm going to withhold making these sound effects until after you give your argument.
Okay. Well, we're fucking stacked this year. And this would have been, if you think back to however many years that we've been in existence, this would be for sure one of the top few years before the season starts that we feel like this is going to be a really good run. Now, obviously, we're Minnesota fans, so we assume somehow Josh Donaldson will, like, break his back in his first at-bat somehow. And I get all that sort of stuff. But the lineup is legitimately stacked. Their pitching rotation seems, you know, fine, maybe, good enough. Mm. Pineda comes back after a little bit and, you know, you're cooking, baby.
Are they going to prorate the suspensions? Have we heard that?
I don't think so. But, hey, Kenta Maeda is good. He's a good player. Odorizzi was fucking awesome last year. Jose Berríos. Hey, what happens to Berríos? He's unbelievable until his, like, 29th start. And then his little tiny baby body just breaks down. He's a little tiny 5'2", 77-pound guy just trying his best out there. His brittle legs just basically fall off, and it won't happen this year. So we would have, if the whole season would have been canceled, which again it may be, I would just probably never stop thinking about what could have been for this season. And the Twins suck generally, and so, you know, the other teams that are kind of favored to be really good this year are teams that are, you know, mostly always pretty good. So the Twins are kind of up in that level now. And what I assume, again, we just talked about the Poleds, who have no idea what's going on. I assume this is not going to happen every year. I'm not going to plan on us being a juggernaut. So this would have really sucked ass if we would have lost this season. We're coming back. Minnesota Twins, one of the big winners. Can I get a, oh yeah? Damn it.
I already gave out mine.
Yeah, you did. You're an oh yeah slut.
No, I'm, no.
Okay. My third one is old white guys.
I'm not going to give that a sound effect.
Just they seem like they're all pent up right now and really mad. I mean, one of those guys was saying it was tyranny to wear a mask in a store. They just need something. You know, it's hard for them right now. And old white guys love baseball, as we all know. Demographically, they need this. They really, really need a win here. And baseball coming back is a big win for old white guys. We are also old white guys. This is us. This is a big win for us. I'm an old white dad.
Yeah.
I fucking need just some background, something or other, to kick up on the recliner. I'm just can't even tell you the kind of bullshit I've been watching at night that Danielle has picked out. It's awful. It's so bad. So it's a big win for me and for you and for you. Can I get a...
Yeah, I mean, after the 400-year winning streak, we
finally
old white guys do need a win.
Oh man, we deserve it. Okay, losers, the Houston Astros. Right?
I need an explanation.
The Houston Astros are going to be plunked repeatedly all season long because they're cheaters. And I think if there was a full year, we may have sort of forgotten the trash banging episodes, or maybe we just wouldn't be as angry. But, you know, harkening back to my point earlier of the old white guy, we're pretty angry right now, right? So the Astros are going to be taking the brunt of our, artificial booing. And other teams will be hitting these guys left and right. The Astros could have used the year off for just sheer, hatred purposes. And now we're coming back. It's not the same as us coming back in April, but there's still losers in this scenario. Astros, losers. Verdict? That's... Okay, loser number...
I want the opportunity to yell at the Astros in person. I want the opportunity to tell Altuve to go fuck himself.
That's true. It's going to be hard.
It's not the same yelling at a TV. I want to do it. I want... What if they... nobody's going to catch the virus from one extra person being in the stands. So what if they
tell
a tryout for just that one person went for Astros games, whenever the Astros are on the road or even at home, they give away a ticket to somebody who just sits there and yells at the Astro players and calls them fuckers. And it would be so loud and so clear because you're the only one in the crowd.
Yeah, and
that would be awesome.
The doctors are concerned about yelling and what that does, but you're still far enough away then it's not going to matter. And you can scream at them at the top of your lungs from 30 feet away, and that's still safe.
30 feet.
And they'll hear you. And they'll hear you. You're right there.
You're right there. And if the mist from your mouth would dissipate, it's not going to reach 30 feet. Everybody will be fine.
Well, you know, so many people talk about masks as that helping. You know, it's another form of a mask is a bullhorn. You put that right in front of your face. They're fucking, I mean, win-win, right? I mean, less spit and more volume. Just chicken fingers with the bullhorn.
You don't actually have to be in the stadium to do that.
That's true.
If you bring a bullhorn, you can just watch the game on your phone and yell stuff from outside of...
You have a bullhorn, you're basically in the stadium. That's right.
Yeah.
Auction it off. One ticket a game. Put the money towards...
This is a great idea.
You do
COVID-19 victims. Once again, why are we the ones coming up with all these ideas?
I don't get it.
Another million-dollar idea.
And here's the deal.
We don't get paid a dollar for.
This is not just a rich guy deciding, well, I'd love to watch the game in person. No, get the fuck out of here. This has to be a rabid fan. And if we need to make money, we'll do a GoFundMe for that person. And,
I want a resume. I want videos of you heckling others. I want to hear what you're going to... It's an audition. This is a callback. This is an audition.
It's a tryout.
It's like America's Got Talent. Oh, it's there's no way around it. It is a tryout.
Watch your neighbor fuck up mowing his lawn. I need you on video screaming at Jim.
Hey, Jim, look at that fucking line. What, Jesus take the wheel?
Okay, so that's my loser.
Just one loudmouth per section. Each of them have a bullhorn.
Oh, my
this
God.
This is going to be the greatest game
I love
in
it.
The history of baseball.
Jesus. It's
wow, that's
it's so fun.
And they pay a grand to be there. You're making money. It can go to whatever charity. I don't give a shit about that. Whatever charity you dream up, put it in there. Money makers. What? God, we're just one after another. Great idea machine.
Home field advantage. You get fans just paying attention. Like, you're not going to tune in when we know Chicken Fingers is in section 104 tonight with a bullhorn. Could you imagine?
Shirtless.
I mean, I wouldn't even watch the regular game. I'd need a Chicken Fingers cam.
Instead of the enhanced audio with crowd cheering, it would just have to be one long car horn to drown out everything that got said.
3-hour car horn.
Hey, Altuve, I thought I was banging a trash can. It turned out it was your wife.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, there, that's...
It's so good.
$1 million.
It's not time for the audition tapes yet, all right, Chicken? This is not an
audition. That's just a taste. That's not even his best one, guys. That's a taste.
No, give me weeks here. We'll just laundry list them.
He's the drug dealer on the corner that gives you that free little crack, little taste of crack. Yeah. Just be like, come on, you're going to want to come back. And they're like, yeah, that was awesome. It's crack.
Oh.
Just... Chicken in one section and Irv in the next section over, just 12 beers deep.
They have
each
like
of them got a bullet
choreographed horn. Dances, some call and answer trash talk.
Oh, perfect. That's what baseball needs.
Okay, loser number two, no matter what happens to me, is Rob Manfred. I think the dude just sucks ass, and everybody knows it. And no matter what happens, he's a loser from now, probably forever. He just really sucks, and I don't know there's anyone who feels otherwise. So he's a huge loser, no matter what happens. And then the last one, I did a scan of the odds in Vegas. 1, 2, 3, 4. There's like 8 teams that have astronomical odds to win it all that are like in full-on pathetic tank mode. Marlins, Tigers, Orioles, Royals, Mariners, Pirates, Giants, Rockies. 8 teams. The third loser is fans of that. I think I would probably just rather not have the Twins playing if they were in full tank mode. Just get through the season and get done with it. I don't need to watch it. So I think they're losers for coming back. I don't know if that's true or not.
But here's the rebuttal on that. If you're, let's say, the Mariners,
mm-hmm.
and you have 2 good weeks to start the season and you win 13 out of your first 14 or something like that, you're basically in the playoffs already at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, but their owners and their GM are going to be like, "Oh no, 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 no. No you don't. I will run some of these guys over in the players' parking lot if I need to. We are not making the playoffs." Like, these are tanking teams, not just shitty teams. I didn't mention those ones. I think they're going to, like, field high schoolers if they need to.
So what you're saying here, if I have this straight, is that the Mariners GM is going to inject his own players with COVID.
Yes.
Just so they get a better draft.
I want to make sure that it's only me talking here, so there's no talking over each other, so I'm clear. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying, John.
Gotcha.
That is true. I don't know. I mean, I think the Marlins fan is probably like, oh, coming back? Okay, I don't know. I don't necessarily need to see this. So are they losers? Fans?
What sound, if I agree with you, what is it? But that's the loser's side. So do you do the fart sound or do you do the oh yeah sound if I agree with you?
Oh, right.
That's for losers.
I think I want to hear the sad trombone or the fart sound. I want to hear one or the other. There it is. Ooh, airy. Okay. Nice. So that was our radio bit. That was fun.
Good radio bit. I can't wait to hear that on KFan.
Oh, now they're doing sound effects. Fuck. That was our thing.
Now they're doing terrible sound effects. What's
wait
next?
A minute. That's become 80% of their programming. Okay, so the last thing I have is, or maybe not the last thing, but potentially, Chicken. Are your children participating in youth sports this summer?
Yes.
Nice. That's great. Is it just happened or, mine are can't, my kid, his second grade, machine pitch league is canceled and we're very sad. So I thought maybe you were still making it happen.
Well,
which
we are. Yeah, we are. The difference is my son's a little bit older. So there are, his association team was canceled, like your son's was. But because he's older, there are, you know, club teams and things beyond, outside of your city association or school association, whatever you're playing locally, that you can still play for.
Yeah, it's kind of a free-for-all, right? Like, our city, 9-year-olds can play, but 8-year-olds can't. And then I tried to have my 8-year-old play with the 9-year-olds. I was like, well, he wants to play. He's fine.
And he's probably good enough.
And they said,
he'll be fine.
And he'll be, you know, whatever, good enough. And they're like, nope. Like, well,
it's the Wild West.
Makes no sense.
And you're out of luck. I'm sorry. That's and he's just a couple years too young to do. If you did want to, you know, do like a club baseball and we're going over to Wisconsin to play, and which is fine. It's not ideal. It's not certainly not anything I love doing, but it's better than I guess him just playing Call of Duty all night too. So.
Ugh. Are you? Is there a league or is it just like weekend tournament stuff?
Weekend tournament stuff.
All right.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. It's
and hockey is practicing that they can't play games yet. So he's doing that. Again, it's not. Yeah, it's certainly not ideal. He should be out playing baseball on Citi Field. But they can't. You know, the schools aren't opening up their fields. Most of these fields are owned by the school. There's very few privately owned fields. So that's the kind of the log jam. So that's the reason. And you can't open them up. If the school is saying you can't open up, then you can't. So there you are.
Yeah. So I'm still playing for the Millers, obviously, and I'm obsessed with that. And our manager's obsessed with it, and he is just, he's not doing well. I don't know if he listens to this podcast, but he knows. He knows he's not doing well. He's not handling this with grace.
So what are you guys doing? So what's your plan for the Millers?
We started practicing a few weeks ago, you know, or I don't even know how long ago, but, you know, for a while it was 10 people. So it was like, hey, just 10 guys show up, which was easy because we're all lazy and a few guys show up for every practice. Anyway, and then that expanded and, you know, our coach continues to like, hey, we might get some good news this week. There's a walls presser coming up. And then nothing happens. Oh, well, next week, we might get some good news next week. There's a walls presser coming up. And we just haven't gotten good news. Finally, last Wednesday or sometime, I said, hey, we got approval to play, but we have to play in Carver County for some reason. Not in Hennepin, but Carver. So we went out there, and we're going to play the Carver Town team last Saturday. And we're going to play Sunday as well. And we'll just play on weekends for now, and we'll see what happens. And so we get out there, and the Carver coach and our coach are really good buds. We know this guy really well. And he's just brought us kind of all in the center before the game. And their coach was like, hey, you know, it's a special deal. We got approval to do this, but it's kind of on a case-by-case basis. So I really ask you guys, just do your best tonight. Be on your best behavior. Stay away from each other when you can.
No.
But the city manager will likely be out and or the mayor. Royce is going to be here. We saw on Twitter he's going to be here. So he's we want to make sure he's tweeting nice things about us. It's This is an actual thing that happened. And maybe other media members. So let's just whatever. And so we're like, okay, cool. That's great. And for me, like, I'm, as you know, an elitist liberal cuck. So that's what my role is on our baseball team as well. I'm a huge pain in the ass. So of course I'm just like, yeah, not a problem for me. I'm at this point, like 30 feet away from the closest person anyway. I'm just, that's who I am. Anyway. So he says that, and they started walking away, and one guy from their team and one guy from my team, one of my real good pals, are friends from college or something, and like 3 seconds after this guy's done with the speech and we both turn and walk away, they just walk up to each other and huge bear hug. Just huge, just the biggest. They just were not listening to anything. Like, no. 6 feet away from the two managers who are like, please, 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 whatever. So I'm sure you know where this story was going. We played our game. It was great. I pitched. It was so fun to be back on the mound. I didn't spend 1 second in the dugout. I was outside the dugout, walking around, whatever, trying to just steer clear. But no one else really was. It's impossible. You guys know this, right? Like, you try so hard to be vigilant, and then, you know, you get around certain people, and you're not. You're just not as much as you said you were going to be, and that's exactly what happened. And so we got an email from the next morning that said, yeah, you're not playing here anymore. you can't play here. Like, so that was, we played one game, and it's over for now. So I don't know. God, it's so tough.
I'll tell you maybe just a quick story. I'm coaching a hockey team this summer. There's 19 boys on the roster. So they're 12 years old. The guys you're playing with are, what, between 20 years old and 40-something years old, right? They're grown adult men.
Adults.
Playing baseball,
yeah.
Which is as standstill of a sport as there possibly is.
Yep.
If you're going to be able to distance, that should be the sport you're able to do it in. Adult men should be able to do it, and they couldn't. They couldn't.
Nope.
Put 19... 12-year-old boys on an ice rink and say, you need to stay 6 feet apart. It's hockey. How do you, you're constantly moving. You can't stay apart.
No.
It's like atoms. They're going to eventually crash into each other.
Yeah.
And after our first practice, the rink manager comes over and screams at us. We were like the first ones to practice, and we're like, either you need to relax or we just can't do it because it's impossible.
19 kids that age is, there's 10 kids humping 9 other kids. That's how that works.
On hockey skates. Like, they can't stop moving. I don't know what you want them to. I don't know.
I mean, you could get out there and do like a slap shot contest from the blue line.
I guess we could have
an
hour.
And that's, hey, great. Did you get better at hockey? No.
no.
I guess you.
Hey, everybody's miserable.
We're just in wasting time mode at that point, at that age. So I don't know. It sucks and it's tough. But yeah,
I'm not complaining. It just was, I guess, interesting to me. Like, this, I don't know how this is going to possibly work. And then for the guy to scream at us, like, well, then fine, you do it. You get out there.
Yeah. I know.
Mustache. You figure it out.
Yep.
Anyways.
Crazy times.
Well, I'm sorry that didn't work out for you, Brandon.
I mean, I guess. I go back and forth on all of this. Like, just let us play. We're going to be fine. But then, you know, I mean, honestly, we were not 6 feet apart at all. Not even close. But if they could shut down the dugout and just be like, hey, you guys are just going to sit on the sidelines. And we would do it. But anyway, didn't work out. So hopefully we'll have some good news here soon. But Jesus, I don't know. I was going to suggest, let's just wear masks. It's baseball. Who gives a shit? I'm not panting ever. I'd rather wear a mask and play than not wear a mask and not play. But I know my manager would strangle me to death. Like, he wouldn't even go, oh, I don't know, dude. That's ridiculous. He would kill me somehow. The easiest way he could possibly kill me is how he would kill me. So I'm not even going to suggest that.
You could either maybe die of COVID-19 or... definitely die
for
by
sure die
him
yeah
killing
him. Yeah, within like the first minute of me saying it, so that's not gonna work out either. All right. Well, I think we are out of time. We didn't get a chance to talk hoops. I'm so sorry, Chicken. I know you had that on your list here.
No, that's okay. Can I close with maybe just a little soliloquy here, just a little speech?
Please.
That's all right.
Yes, of course.
As I just saw this and I thought maybe I'd mention something quick. I have lately, just for my own mental health, it's not a political statement in any way. It shouldn't be taken as that in any way. But I use my Twitter account for just to be stupid, obviously, just as a pressure relief valve to let off steam and say stupid things about sports or food or whatever. And, you know, the last few months and especially the last few weeks have not been a time to do stuff like that. So I've just kind of avoided Twitter entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I wanted to use my account to, to trumpet or enact social change, I don't think I would have called it Chicken Fingers 69.
Right.
I probably would have called it something. I don't think people are coming to an account called Chicken Fingers 69 to hear my political opinions one way or the other.
Social Justice 69, maybe. I mean, it's a little bit different.
Maybe.
It's still fun.
I've avoided it. I just have been off it completely. Again, it's as a mental health exercise. That's what works for me. But as we're going through this podcast, I thought, you know, we're talking about some timely stuff. I better just check in, kind of see what like baseball's plan is, just so I have, you know, I've heard about some stuff, read the paper and things like that. I still read the paper. I just don't go on Twitter. But I thought, you know, I'm going to check in, see what Manfred's up to, that kind of stuff. So I opened my Twitter for the first time in quite a long time. The last time I opened it, there's just always chaos and tons of shit going on. I thought, let's see what's going on in the world. Maybe things have died down out there. Maybe things have, in sports and in life in general, things have died down. The very first tweet I open says that Minnesota Twins star third baseman, now turned first baseman with the addition of Josh Donaldson, is being accused of kidnapping and beating up a man in the Dominican Republic.
Uh-oh.
Because he believes that the man raped his 8-year-old son.
Miguel Sano?
Excuse me, 8-year-old brother. Miguel Sano's 8-year-old brother apparently was raped. So he went out and found and kidnapped and beat up a guy in the Dominican Republic and is now in custody, apparently, or is at least being accused. So that's the first thing I saw. Like, oh, well, that's a good eye-opener right there. That's the first thing I saw. Not, you know, Dana Wessel talking about whatever he's up to. Or No, it's Miguel Sano is...
Ugh. I did not know that myself, and I am, as you know, extremely online.
Breaking news, apparently. So this is
yikes,
or it's just completely invented. But it's Dan Hayes from The Athletic, so
that's a person. That's legit.
I don't think The Athletic and Dan Hayes would be just inventing stuff. But
no, it'd be weird.
So sorry to end on a downer, but I just thought, holy crap, things just haven't really died down too much.
Welcome back to the hell world, Chicken.
that was just a great
you weren't online. Tell me, what's that like?
It's good, Brandon.
Sure.
But you don't know what's going on either.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I've sometimes decided to stay away and then just read, like, I have a New York Times app. Just read that so I know I have the basics, but still, that's just, I don't know. I just go back and forth between like that's good and like that's I'm still missing a bunch of stuff, you know. And then I'm like, well, if I could miss some stuff, that's fine. Who the hell am I? Why do I need to know everything?
People miss stuff for
So it's a tough balancing act.
But it's hard. It is.
But that's very shitty news.
It's interesting. I don't even really have anything to say about it. It's just
it's all bad.
And they're translating it from Spanish, so they admit, I mean, admittedly, they're saying they don't quite know if they're getting all the details right, but good Lord.
Well, more to come on that one. Yikes.
Yeah.
Huge yikes. Well, with that, what a closer. Thanks so much, Chicken. You're the Ron Davis of this podcast.
Oh.
Got a win. Here comes Ron Davis. And it's lost.
And I'd also like to announce that a dog, not unlike Lassie, has been hit out in the parking lot.
Think of the dog that you love the most. It's dead.
Good Lord. What was I thinking?
Like Mark Guthrie.
Sorry.
You're Mark Guthrie coming in to face Jason Giambi. 12-9. Don't worry about it. It's okay. I mean, even if he gets a double, we'll be okay. You're like, oh, yeah? Oh. Check this out.
Spring.
900 feet later.
For the record, that was Mike Trombley, not Mark Guthrie.
Oh, God.
It was okay. I don't think either of them even know the difference between the two of them.
Mark Guthrie's like, no, that was me. No, that was for sure me.
Yeah, that was me for sure.
Like, maybe the specific instance you're talking about, but I for sure gave up a bunch of consequential bombs to Jason Giambi. Believe me, bro. It was not good. Lefty on lefty crime. Okay, well, we'll get to basketball later, Chicken.
Good. Maybe, on the next one. I can't make the next one, by the way.
Yeah.
I know we haven't.
We don't even know when it is. Yeah. 6 weeks from now.
Be busy.
Late July.
Business meeting.
Well, okay. Stay safe, everybody. Stay sane. Stay healthy. Stay vigilant. And we'll be back momentarily. Maybe soon. Maybe in 6 weeks. Or longer. Who knows? But that'll do.
Good ending, Brandon. Good ending.
No promises. It's the sportive way. All right, I'm going to press stop now. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.